but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
BFFT. From the PacWest Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with the bald-faced truth.
Big college football weekend. Maybe the best college football schedule of the season coming up this weekend. Yeah, you've got Oregon going to Rutgers. You've got Washington going to Michigan. You got Washington State going to Virginia. USC and Notre Dame are playing. Stanford's got Florida State. Cal's got Bill Belichick and North Carolina in town. Plus, we got the Mariners. The Mariners in this best of seven American League Championship Series, up 2-1. I think a lot of Seattle fans looking at the Mariners going, oh, it's a foregone conclusion. They're going to win it all. Do we want to sweep it or do we want to win it in five? Now you're going, hey, just want to win the thing, right? Like, you know, beggars can't be choosers. Just go win the damn thing. A lot of that coming up, but we have a big college football weekend. And, of course, Oregon State hosting Lafayette on Saturday. Trent Bray, of course, out at Oregon State. Rob Akey, the interim coach, is in. Here to talk about it, Trent Walker, Oregon State team captain and wide receiver. He joins us every Thursday, courtesy of Jamba. Life is better blended. Trent Walker joining us. Feels like there's been just a ton of change, you know, from the outside looking in, Trent. You have been there. Your head coach is fired. What was that like? Take us through kind of what that process was like for you guys.
Yeah, appreciate you having me on again. It was Sunday morning. Usually we go in about noon and get treatment or whatever, but Sunday was a little different. We got a text around 8:30, 9. They said we had a emergency team meeting at 10 o'clock. And right when we got the text, we didn't know what it was. And then it got leaked onto Twitter and the media got a hold of it. And so, man, I was shocked. I think a lot of the guys in the locker room were shocked. Definitely not the news I wanted to hear. Nor do I feel like it was the news that should have happened.
Take us into that, because you've said that you're angry about this. Why are you angry?
I'm angry because Coach Bray's a mentor of mine. I said it in the interview, he believed in me the whole way. I think he had to bite the bullet for players who weren't executing. You could go back and listen to all of our interviews I've had with you. Every single week it came down to executing and dudes not getting their job done. So it sucks, man. It sucks to see a dude who stood for Oregon State, a piece of Oregon State, get let go over something that, you know, he really can't control. Dudes blocking the wrong guy, me dropping balls and that kind of stuff.
I go back to the schedule, and I said this from the beginning. I mean, you don't. There wasn't a mulligan. There wasn't a. Hey, let's ease into the season game. You start with Cal, then Fresno State, and then Texas Tech and Oregon. I think those are two playoff teams. And but at that point, you know, a 4-game schedule, not very forgiving. Probably would have been a different feel if you win the Fresno State game, and certainly you win the Houston game. I think everybody kind of the heat is off Coach Bray. As that is unfolding, are you as players thinking about, you know, the possibility of the coach getting fired, or are you still just focused week to week as that schedule was unfolding?
I felt like the university, it had so much confidence in Bray that it wasn't even a possibility after the first 4 games. We weren't even thinking about it really. I think, like you said, we had a tough first 4-game schedule, which is always hard for teams, because usually you start with some teams that you should beat, and you get your feet under you and you learn how to win. You learn how to take care of business, which helps for sure. Yeah, man, I'm still pretty shocked, but is what it is at this point.
Do you get a chance to talk to Coach Bray? I know he came in and briefly on Sunday addressed the team, but yeah, did you get a chance to have a one-on-one with him or call him or text with him?
Yeah, as soon as he talked to the team, Scott Barnes came in and talked to us, and I think Bray took off from there. But he made sure to give me a call. I'm sure he called a bunch of other dudes on the team. It's not the same without him at practice or seeing his car in the parking lot before anyone else. Yeah, man, it's weird. It's different.
Offensively, you'll have a new play caller. You'll have an interim head coach. How has that been for you guys this week as you prepare for Lafayette?
Akey's done a great job of jumping in the fire, and he's one of those guys that's always positive. Dudes respond well to him, so we're blessed to have him be in the spot that he's in now. With Lang's calling the offense, I know I mentioned this earlier, but I think Lang's and Pat and Gundy, they all think alike. I don't think there's going to be much change in what's being ran. Maybe how it's being called and when certain plays are being called might change, but I think they've all been on the same page throughout the year, and I don't think much is gonna change.
Trent Walker with us. He joins us every Thursday, Oregon State wide receiver. It can't be easy. The leadership of this team, you're in that leadership inner circle. What were those conversations like on Sunday and then into Monday, and you try to regroup and, you know, obviously, there's a loyalty element with Coach Bray, who is loyal to you guys.
Throughout the whole thing, Coach Bray was doing a good job of keeping the locker room together. I never felt like dudes were stepping out on the team or anything like that. And with him gone, we had to step up as players. I'm talking about the captains, of just like keeping the motivation, keeping the positivity. The biggest thing for me was just letting the guys know that we train all year for 12 opportunities guaranteed, and we got 5 more left. Just doing it for yourself, if not for anyone else, because, I mean, you work your ass off year-round just for these 12 opportunities, and Nico said something that was good. It was be where your 2 feet are at all times, because you never know when things could disappear.
Trent, the loss to Fresno State, it was – you know, some snapping issues on special teams. Then comes, you know, the Houston game. It's a field goal team thing. And then, you know, you go to Appalachian State and the offense, you know, needs to get a yard and can't get it. And as you look at those games that got away, what's the one that kind of sticks with you that you go, man, like, you know, who's at the top of that list? You probably feel like you should have won them all, but which one sticks with you the most?
They're all really, they feel the same. But I think the Houston game hurt the most because I felt like we were taking care of business. I think it wasn't even close in the fourth quarter. I think we were up 14 points, and they were third and 17 or something with 10 minutes left. And I think that one hurt the most to lose. But I think the Fresno game, if we would have grabbed that one, I think it changes the trajectory of how we feel and how the season goes.
Yeah, I think you go back and you get a couple of those wins early. You know, the mentality's different. Coach Akey comes in. He's got a, you know, obviously if you're him, you want to change the mood in the room. He's upbeat. He's positive. He came on the show with me yesterday, and, you know, he's just really positive and energetic. What has he been like, and how have the guys responded to him?
He's been great. Like I said earlier, he's one of the guys that just knows how to bring positivity to a room and to a team. So I'm thankful that we've had him on the staff, and I'm thankful he's in the spot that he is. He's been good for us. I think his energy is exactly what we need in a time like this.
It was, you know, difficult to watch to this point, but you have opportunities here, and you've got some games here that, you know, I look at this Lafayette game. I look at the Washington State games. I look at Tulsa, and I go, gosh, you know, there's some real opportunities. Sam Houston, of course, on the schedule still as well. How will you guys approach this? And And are you at all concerned about, you know, players sort of checking out mentally, or have the practices just been so focused that you really feel like the guys are going to try to play hard in these last five games or so?
Yeah, I think guys are going to continue to play hard. It'll just come down to executing and doing your job to the best of your ability. I know the big theme is get these wins for Bray. And I think it's going to be, it was tough the first two practices without Coach Bray, because you guys have seen it on social media. He's running around like his ass is on fire. He's bringing a bunch of energy. So it was tough without him there first two practices. But nonetheless, like, we still had good energy. We were still focused. I think this second half of the season is a lot more gettable than the first half. And I'm excited for it. We got five more opportunities.
What kind of coach does Oregon State need long-term? If you're brought into the room as a special advisor to the hiring committee, you know, it really goes beyond this season. What would you say to the rest of the committee? Oregon State needs what kind of coach?
Gosh, I could be biased, but I think like Coach Bray was one of the guys that really brought guys together. He stood for something, and he loved Oregon State. He still loves Oregon State. I think just someone who's high intensity, someone who doesn't back down to big name schools. And it could just be my bias, but I thought Coach Bray was a hell of a coach, and he is a hell of a coach. Ask me that in private. I might have some different answers, but I think I'm going to stand on Coach Bray.
Trent Walker with us, Oregon State wide receiver. Trent, we go to college, we learn things. I know there were a lot of things I learned in college that had nothing to do with the classroom. I'm guessing you've talked to your parents in the last week, or maybe since Sunday. And, you know, what are the lessons that you'll take into the rest of your life from what has happened this season and you know, the firing of Coach Bray?
Something my parents always taught me at a young age is to never quit. How you do anything is how you do everything. And I think loyalty is something that I'll bring with me throughout the whole thing, hard work. I think if you don't have loyalty, if you're quitting things, then you really don't have a word. You have nothing to stand on.
You get Lafayette. Have you watched much film? I'm sure you have. What do you see on film with Lafayette?
They're a solid group. I think their offense is a little bit better than their defense. I don't want to be disrespectful in any way, because we got to respect all our opponents. But I feel like this is one we need to get, and we absolutely should.
You're at home. This potential to get a little momentum. All right. I want you to go win and go celebrate with a Jamba after. And Trent, I appreciate you joining us every week. Thanks, man.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate you.
And there goes Trent Walker, Oregon State wide receiver, team captain. You know, look, if Oregon State stays with Trent Bray, do they beat Lafayette? Do they then go on and, you know, finish the year 3-2 in these final five games, or 2-3 in these final five games, and have a good finish? Was it necessary to fire Trent Bray? I don't know. That's a question that I think we can debate. Certainly 0-7, you have to look at the head coach. It's the head coach's job to win games. But in that interview there with Trent Walker, I do hear a guy who does not think that Trent Bray was the problem. We shall see how they perform on Saturday with Rob Akey as the interim head coach. You never really know how a team's going to respond, players are going to respond, until you actually see it. And I think with Oregon State, it's one of the great sociology experiments here, watching the Beavers just to kind of see how do they respond to what is a less than ideal start to their season, and now the equivalent of a sudden change with the head coach that recruited them and coached them and sold them on a vision, now walking out the door, and you got a new interim coach in charge, and this is a worst case scenario for some of these players. I think it'll be, you know, a little bit of an experiment and a little bit of a sociology experiment to watch how Oregon State focuses. Do they focus? Do they regroup? You certainly have seen some teams that play better. But I also think, you know, Scott Barnes is no dummy. He changed coaches a week before he's got you know, Lafayette and Washington State and Sam Houston. And, you know, there was probably an opportunity for Trent Bray to get a win and get some traction. I think he did look around Reser Stadium on Saturday and he saw the students leave early because the game was boring, blowout against Wake Forest. He saw fans, you know, vacating like, oh, there was a fire drill going on. And I think Scott Barnes did what a lot of administrators do. I think they went, okay, what do I need to do here to possibly get some momentum into the end of the season and just regroup and start over? I also think, you know, he alluded to the idea that donors had stepped up and are going to pay Trent Bray's $1-plus million salary that, you know, $3.6 million that they owe him, $1.2 million a year. And, you know, that'll come out of donor funds, Scott Barnes says. Well, we'll see what Oregon State does. They've got some time to make this hire. I expect them to get it done sometime after Thanksgiving, of course, first week of December. Probably have some kind of announcement, but I'll be all over it at johnconzano.com. All right, coming up next, it'll be Dan Lanning, Oregon Ducks. We got to talk about Oregon trying to regroup. They are coming off a disappointing outcome against Indiana. They're going to Rutgers, where they have to perform. You cannot let Indiana beat you twice. Dan Lanning, Oregon football coach, coming up next. Text your favorite Duck fan. Tell him to get here. Lanning, next.